Army Insider. My name is Callie Martis alongside Jack Davison, and we are here to bring you some critical updates as far as sports goes here at North Catholic. And first, we're going to start off with boys soccer. But before we get to some of their games, we'll have an exclusive interview right here with senior goalkeeper Dylan Chance. Dylan, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
And Dylan, we really wanted to talk about, bring up the big stuff first. You guys are 11-1 in conference, 13-1-1 overall. From your perspective in goal, what's been the secret to the team's success?
Yeah, I just think the secret to our success has just been working as a team. You know, we've been playing together for 4 years now. We have a very experienced team with about 14 seniors now, a couple great juniors holding up the, giving us some depth as well. So I just think our chemistry has been great. You know, we've been playing together, playing different styles of soccer as well. It's just all been kind of clicking and all been working together.
Yeah, Dylan, speaking of chemistry, with you as the goalkeeper, is there a lot of chemistry between you and the back line and then the back line along with the forwards?
For sure. Me and my back line, we're like brothers. Jack Spearnack, Gannon Pappas, my two great center backs, followed up by our wingers, wing backs, and Nate Salak, Austin English, with some depth coming off the bench as well. We've just been playing together for so long, you know. It's kind of funny because we were all new together at what point in time, but as you start to experience and play more with each other and, you know, pick up with your friends and everything, you get to know how a player plays, and especially with up top too, you know. We have some goal scorers up there as well and just love to give them the ball and can do that whichever way possible.
And you talk about really coming together as a team, Dylan. Obviously, leadership is a big part of the team this season. A lot of upperclassmen. How do you yourself use your voice on the field to lead the team? And how do you think this leadership has really played a role into your success?
Yeah, I know. Being the goalie, you see everything on the field. You see what's working well, what's working not. I just think we've been able to work so well with changing on the fly and adapting to how the game's going. Just being able to change and maneuver different tactics and everything. One example is when you were playing Shady Side, we had a tactic going into the game. Midway through, we realized that it wasn't working. Switched up halfway through, ended up getting a 3-1 win over it.
Yeah, Dylan, you guys have adapted very well. As Callie said, 13-1-1 overall, 11-1, the only loss coming to Deer Lakes. But then you were able to come over the hump and beat Deer Lakes for the first time in a couple of years. What was that moment like in that game, like getting a first big win against them?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. My team really stepped in. I made a mistake on the field. Could have been costly. We were up 2-0. Gabe Martin steps in net. Had a huge game for us back there. He held it down for a solid about 30 minutes in the net. It was just great to see. The defense stepped up big time, too. Probably playing the most clean game of soccer I've ever seen. Up tops kept chasing after the ball. It was a great sight to see. And I think that win just brought us together as a team. I mean, I think we started to realize what we could do together. And we've had some challenges in the past couple weeks with the games, but I think that was a moment where we were kind of like, okay, I think we can take this far and do something with it.
And now that we're looking ahead, postseason is coming. What does the team look to do? Does anything really change for you guys that stakes are rising?
No. Cool, calm, collected is our thing. We came into the season with the idea that we can win it all, and we plan to keep that moral going. We have something very special happening with this team. When our coaches came in, they changed the program. We were there for that, and we didn't know if we would see it through all the way, but this is definitely the moment where we're starting to see some results in seeing a lot of success with our team.
Yeah, good luck to soccer the rest of the way. But you're not only locking down the net in soccer, you're also putting up points on the board as a kicker for the football team. Mm-hmm. So how did that really come about that you joined football, and how do you deal with both the roles on both teams?
Yeah, you know, I have friends across both teams. I had a couple friends playing football, and they said they needed a kicker. I always thought it'd be cool just to go out and see what it's like to be a part of a different sport, because I never played football before my junior year. Got into it. Coach Rizzo, fantastic coach, always allowing me to change my schedule with him and do whatever. But I just think it's great how they've accepted me on their team and allow me to be a part of them as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, Dylan. You really don't, you know, see that very often, you know, being a multi-sport athlete like that. But we do have a question for you. So Which would you say is more nerve-wracking in a game, a clutch field goal or a last-minute penalty save?
I'd probably have to say clutch field goal for sure. You know, I've played goalie all my life. I've been in that situation many times. Unfortunately, not in a situation where I've had to make a clutch field goal. So I think that would probably be the most nerve-wracking opportunity for me. But penalty save, I think both of them are a thrill-seeking thing. I think it's just great to be able to go through both as well.
Well, thank you, Dylan, for joining us on the podcast, and good luck to you in soccer and in football for the rest of the season to come.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And, Jack, what a great interview there from Dylan Chance. He definitely plays a huge role on the boys' soccer team. So, along with all their other veteran leadership, and it's really showed this season with their outstanding record, their first in Section 1 of Class 2A this season, and really just a turnaround season for the team. And one thing I'd really like to point out, Jack, is they're only giving up 0.7 goals per game, which is just an unbelievable stat to look at.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous thinking about it, Callie, especially with their big blowout wins like 8-0, 10-0, 11-0 throughout the year. Most recently, 10-0 against Burrell yesterday, October 7th. And it's really just came down to the good goalkeeping between Dylan Chance, Gabe Martins, and some of the other goalkeepers. It's been great overall. A lot of shutout wins this year. And I know that I mentioned it earlier, that Deer Lakes game was huge for them, I think. Finally allowed them to beat probably their biggest rival. But recently against Highlands and Freeport, teams that they've crushed in the past, it was only 2-1 and 1-0. So I'm not sure if that was more of a complacent move that they just didn't come ready to play, or they're a little more nervous, like, we can't lose anymore. We have the section locked up as long as we win these easy games. So it could be just a nerves thing from them, but I'm sure they're going to walk out of the rest of the season with a perfect record going out.
Yeah, I agree, Jack. It's definitely going to be exciting to see them here, especially come playoff time. Like I said before, this is just a whole new team. There was a lot of, I feel like, inconsistency last year. You know, they win some and then lose some that they should have won, and just scenarios like that. But this year they've really come together and cleaned it up, and I believe they have they're 15 seniors,
around there. Could be that chemistry finally. It's all coming together,
For sure. And great to see what they're doing. And girls soccer as well, a strong team for North Catholic, 6-3-0 in conference, 11-4-0 overall. They are second in Section 2 of Class 2A. Today is their last section game against Valley, and Jack, they should win that one.
They should, yep. Yeah, they've looked good overall. Most recently, 11-0 against Highlands, and then 1-0 against Shadyside. Shadyside was a pretty big game for them. And yeah, they've looked good down the stretch of the season. I'm excited what they can do for playoffs.
Yeah, Jack, and the team's going to know October 15th what seed they will get in the playoff bracket. Something always exciting to look for there as well. But like you said, girls soccer just doing really well too. And you mentioned that game versus Shadyside Academy. Simone Sharpless had the game winner with only a minute 13 left on the clock. Jules Trelango recorded a shutout, so that was definitely a huge win. Definitely a highlight of their season, for sure. Now we're going to head over to girls volleyball. They had a 3-1 win over North Hills. Pretty easy victory there for them. But the Trojanettes last night unfortunately got swept 3-0 against Pine Richland.
Yeah, talking to some of the girls, they said it was just messy overall. Definitely not their best game. Just nothing was going for them. Earlier in the season, we saw them take down Pine Richland 3-2 here at North Catholic, but obviously that was not the case last night at Pine Richland, so they're hoping to turn things around pretty soon.
Yeah, Jack, Pine Richland, that was that long broadcast.
Yep.
You and I did.
Very long,
yep.
But it was worth it.
It was worth it for sure, but we're going to talk about now the elephant in the room, football. They've lost their last two games to Central Valley and Imani Christian. Before that, we had the homecoming game where they crushed McGuffey 63-0. I think that was definitely expected, that game for sure. offense was just unbelievable yet again, putting up crazy stats. And then you get to the Imani game. And, I checked the score. It was 16-0 Trojans.
Very strange games.
And I was kind of surprised because, Imani was, Imani's probably the strongest team in that class. And we're winning 16-0. And then I was actually at a concert during that game. And then after the concert, I checked the score and I saw it's 36-16. So I think North Catholic definitely kind of fell off there in the second half. But what I wanted to point out from that game is that Imani Christian had 18 penalties for 155 yards, 5 bad snaps for negative 61 yards, and quarterback Gabe Jenkins threw 2 interceptions. And that's tough to hear because really if you're the Trojans, you should be able to capitalize on all those mistakes made by Imani.
Yeah, it just doesn't really make sense, Callie, especially with all those mistakes. That's around 200 yards of backwards, going backwards for Imani Christian. So it's like, how could North Catholic not win this game, especially being up 16-0 at halftime? So there must have been some kind of halftime talk from the Imani Christian coaches that really got them going. And North Catholic just took their foot off the pedal, I guess, in the second half. I mean, coming into the game, they were steamrolling all of their opponents, just absolutely crushing them. So this is really one of their first real games. So maybe, and I mean, most of the starters had only played about half a game coming into Imani Christian. And so maybe now with them having to play the full time, got a little more tired than usual. So maybe that's something to put a little blame on.
Right. I mean, I agree, Jax. I mean, North Catholic, they came out strong. Their first two drives resulted in touchdowns. Joey Felitsky hit Preston Simcoe for 35 and 37 yards to give North Catholic that early lead. But like you said, I mean, Imani Christian made one heck of a comeback in the second half. And North Catholic's defense just couldn't hold them off. And I think that's another thing, too. I don't think our defense has necessarily been tested.
Most of the games they've let up only 10 points or less, meaning that the offenses they're going against are probably not all that good.
Right. And, I just think the game was moving a little too fast for them in that second half. And, Imani Christian is just a powerhouse football team. Gabe Jenkins and David Davis are both Penn State recruits, really strong players, and they're the ones that led that comeback for Imani Christian in that game. But then we head, Jack, to last week versus Central Valley.
It was a very interesting game, Callie. Very peculiar. It was a blowout at halftime. North was getting shut out by the Warriors. I think it was 24-0.
I think that was the
score. Mm-hmm. And it looked like all hope was lost, honestly, until Quinn O'Hara made an interception around their own at North's 30-yard line, took it all the way back to the Warriors 4 with 4 seconds left, and North had a chance to score a touchdown, and they got stopped at the 1-yard line right before halftime. So that was definitely a mood killer. But then the Trojans came out of halftime, and the offense just went off. They scored 2 touchdowns in under 2 minutes of field possession. So the offense is definitely back in the second half. It's just too bad they couldn't put the first half of Imani Christian and the second half against the Warriors together to make a complete game, which really would have dominated either of these two great opponents.
Yeah, Jack, that was definitely bizarre. I remember, at home watching the fourth quarter. And I mean, I guess better late than never for your offense to show up, but a little too late for the Trojans. And the other, I want to bring up Joey Felitsky. He's still putting up big numbers.
He had over 350 passing yards still.
Despite the losses. And really, I mean, the reason did he have an interception last game?
He had two.
Yeah. And I think he had two against Imani as well.
Those are his first 4 of the season.
Yeah, and I honestly look at those and looking at watching the game against Central Valley last week, I just don't think the O-line is giving them enough time to make decisions.
Yeah, and it's definitely tough with injuries that have gone down right now, especially who is it? Landon Walker, definitely a big force who was out this past week, and I think even against Imani. I know there's one other big guy out.
Ethan DeLess,
who also got hurt in this game. But yeah, it's definitely tough when you have those injuries because not everyone can fill that void at offensive and defensive line. And so the Trojans just got to get healthy sooner rather than later, especially with some big games coming up against Beaver area and Avonworth.
And yeah, Jack, I mean, we look at the Beaver game this Friday. I mean, Beaver, they're like middle of the road team, you know, I would say. I think it's going to be roughly like Central Valley. And now I think the Trojans, you know what they need to do in order to beat those kind of teams. Like you said, then last home game is Avonworth.
Yeah, they're going through the gauntlet right now, Callie.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I don't know what you'd rather have. Would you rather, you know, start off playing really hard teams or end with playing hard teams? I don't know.
Intermix is probably the best way they want it, but that's not always how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could look at it as we're playing the harder teams as we get closer to playoffs. So you kind of, you know what it's
like.
Level. You know, you're not trying to remember from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you know what they're doing.
You know, that type of thing. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I definitely think the Trojans have the talent, the ability to beat Beaver this week. I think this is going to be a really important game. Kind of gives you a little leeway versus Avonworth. You know, Avonworth, just another team that's just been dominant.
Yep. Yeah, they're probably going to win the section.
Yeah, for sure. So all important game for the Trojans this week. And then next week, that'll be our last broadcast, the Avonworth game. My last football broadcast, hard to believe.
Unless we get playoffs, Callie.
Well,
Who knows?
Maybe. Keep fingers crossed. Yep. We get a playoff game, but we'll definitely have to see. But Jack, I wanted to ask you, we got some updates on cross country.
Yeah, cross country's been looking great, Callie. Recently, they went out to the Paul Short Invitational out a bit north of Philly, and the girls' team won first out of 40 schools. Out there in the 2A section. Yeah, they crushed it. They had four girls in the top 20, all medaling. And then the boys team looked good overall too, 10th out of 40. We were looking, probably could have been more like second place overall if it weren't for injuries between myself and Jack Steineman, sophomore phenom, who probably could have won the race. So we're definitely looking to get healthy and ready for Whippeules, which is in about 2 weeks. And we're excited for what's to come. Yeah.
Now, where are Whippeules being held this year?
It's at White Oak Park, about 50 minutes from here. And so we also go to Tri-States, which is kind of like a preview of the course and meet in a week, and then Whippeules the week after. So we're busy and
ready
to go.
Yeah, getting geared up. And Jack, I did a hockey broadcast on Monday. It was the Trojans' preseason game. Before we get into some regular season action, they faced the Blackhawk Cougars, beat them by an overwhelming 7-2. And I just thought, Jack, we're going to see a lot of good hockey this season. The team looked really well, especially on 5-on-5 play. I thought they really dominated. And I think, you know, the last time the team has seen the Cougars was 2 years ago in the playoffs. Which I remember being a tight game. It was like a one goal game, and I think the Trojans definitely have a lot of underclassmen this year that they're going to have to rely on their younger core. And I think this is the first time in a couple years that they're going to have to rely on that.
Yeah, I'm sure these teams look very different than the playoff game 2 years ago. Now, and it's good for the Trojans to get this early preseason game. Try to start get ready for the year, and going off that younger core, Callie, not as many seniors this year, and they're going to be dependent on the freshmen, sophomores, and even some juniors.
Yeah, Jack, and their goaltending tandem, too, as well, Darren Riley and Wyatt Cleveland, are looking really good. We saw what they can do last season. We saw Darren Riley make his debut last season, and he was just outstanding in net to already back up the already great Wyatt Cleveland, that's been with the team for a while now, now a senior. And I think that's something the Trojans can really take advantage of. When things aren't really going your way, you're able to rely on your goaltenders.
Yeah, I've known Darren Riley for a very long time, and he's been a diehard hockey fan and player for his entire life. And so he definitely knows what he's doing back there and can make some great saves.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it for sure. But I think that's going to do it here for episode 3. A lot going on this week. Kind of had to catch up. Haven't done an episode in a little while, but all good things here. Sports at North Catholic. But we thank you for listening, folks. My name is Callie Martis alongside Jack Davidson, and thank you for joining us on the Trojan Army Insider.